Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Thank you, everybody, for singing. That was just a beautiful, beautiful song. Love that song. Thank you so much. Today, we're going to be looking in the New Testament at the Gospel of Luke, and I invite you to turn with me there, if you have a Bible with you or a pew Bible, to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 5 through 10. Now, we're going to do something a little different this morning in that, usually I will kind of chunk through the scripture one verse at a time, and we're going to do that, but what I want to do before that is I want to read the whole thing through for you, and let's read it together and look at it together, and then we'll go back and look at it a verse or two at a time here. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" I know we've all, our whole lives, come from a place where we have been taught more is better, right? More is always better. We all want more money in our bank account, right? We all want more of a house to store our stuff in so we can get more stuff, right? We all want, if you still are a working individual, more vacation time, more time to take on our own doing what we want to do, because more is always better. Moderation is for cowards, right? More's always better. If what we have is good, a good thing, then certainly more of it will be even better for us. And we will like it even more. I mean, I have to think about this kind of on terms that I can follow myself, that I can understand. Let's, for example, there's a Hershey bar. If that Hershey bar is good, isn't that better? Right? More is better, right? If this potato chip is good, isn't the party size better? The Lay's company figured this out many, many years ago when they said you can't eat just one, right? They knew that. More is going to be better. If this creamy jar of peanut butter is good, isn't the supersized jar of extra crunchy better? Amen. I got an amen. We can go home. Yeah. More is always going to be better, right? Well, I figured out as a kid that's not necessarily always true. You see, at the house I grew up in, we had, right between the driveway and the kitchen window there at the house, we had a crabapple tree. You know what? You ever eaten a crabapple? A crabapple is like the size of a cherry, I guess. It's just a little bitty apple. Has the texture and consistency of an apple, but it's very tart and kind of sour tasting. But I loved me some crabapples as a kid. And what I would do is I would be outside playing, and I really didn't want to take the time to go inside and have lunch, so I'd go over to the crabapple tree and get me a handful of crabapples and eat those crabapples to kind of stave off the hunger so I could go do what I wanted to do. Well, one day, one summer, me and my friends were playing, and they wanted to go off and do something in the woods, but it was lunchtime, and I was pretty hungry. So I said, "Well, give me just a few minutes," and I went over to Mr. Crabapple Tree, and I cleansed it. I pulled every crab apple off of that thing you could pull off. And I ate and ate and ate and ate, trying to get filled up so I could go play and know that I'd be okay being out there playing. And I ate and ate and ate and ate crab apples. It would probably be inappropriate for me to indicate to you exactly what happened 30 minutes after that. But after that, it wasn't real pleasant. And I ate so many of those crab apples that I broke out in this rash all over my body. My mom had to take me to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, he's allergic to something. Obviously, something's happened. Chris, have you eaten anything special? I said, well, I ate some crab apples. And he said, how many did you eat? And I said, oh, about 400. That's what did it. To this day, I can't eat crab apples. Because if I eat them, I'll break out. I'm still allergic to them. More's not necessarily always better. Many of us, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, but many of us have gone through the fast food drive line, the drive-thru there at the local fast food establishment, and ordered the combo meal, right? And just before they tell you your total, you say, oh, supersize that, please. And we're saying that because, you know, we're hungry and the 1,800 calorie combo meal is probably not enough for us. Let's go for the full 3,000. Let's get that full 3,000 calorie in. More's not always necessarily better, is it? And the truth is, I think not only is more not always better, but in some cases, more's not even necessary at all. In some cases, we already have everything we need. And more isn't necessary in the least. In Luke 17, the scripture we just read, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, we want to order a faith. And oh, by the way, how about supersizing that for me, Jesus? We need more of that. They went through the fast faith drive-through, I would call it. And they ordered them up some faith, and they said, well, Jesus, increase it. Give us more. More's got to be better. More's always better, right? We need more faith, Jesus, so please increase our faith. Now, if you think about it, it really makes sense why the disciples asked this of Jesus. If you kind of think back to what they've been dealing with and what Jesus has been trying to teach them, and consider for a minute the massive expectations that Jesus had been placing on these disciples over the last weeks and months. Jesus had said to them, love your enemies. It's not easy. Jesus had said to them, bless those who curse you. Even driving down Mebane Street and they tell you you're number one, right? Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Is that hard to do? Pray for people that mistreat you. Forgive people even when they don't really deserve it, Jesus said. Forgive them. Give without expecting anything back. Give without expecting anything in return from anybody. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Get rid of all this stuff that clutters up your life. Leave some things behind. Jesus had put all these expectations on the disciples. And then in the beginning of chapter 17, in the four verses that I didn't read before verse 5, Jesus says to them, make sure you're never a stumbling block. Don't you dare be a stumbling block to anyone on their way to me, Jesus said. And oh, by the way, if someone does something wrong to you and they repent of it, you forgive them. And then 2 hours later, if they do it again and repent of it, you forgive them. And then an hour later, if they do it again and repent of it, you forgive them. Seven times a day, forgive them. An infinite number of times you offer your forgiveness to them. Now, Jesus has been given all this expectations to the disciples, so it really doesn't seem very odd that the disciples would come up now and say, oh, please, supersize that faith. I think we need some more faith here. Jesus, I think we're going to need a little help with this. We need to go through the fast faith drive-thru and we need to get this supersized because we're going to need more faith if we're going to be able to do all these things that you're expecting us to do. But let's look at how Jesus responded. Let's go to read it again in verse 6. Here's Jesus' response to their request to supersize. Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Jesus, and you can't necessarily tell it just from the reading off the surface, Jesus is not particularly pleased with these disciples at this time. The Greek, actually, in the tense of the Greek that's used, he is downright irritated at these disciples right now. And his answer that he gives to them is really meant to be very terse and snide and almost absurd and outrageous answer. Who's ever thought of a mulberry tree flying through the air and going into the ocean? Almost an absurd kind of answer. But he picks out, Jesus does, he picks out this smallest example of something that he can come up with, the smallest example of faith that he can come up with. And he says to them, if you have faith just this big, just as big as a mustard seed, then whatever you ask is done. If you have that kind of faith, just that much faith, then this mulberry tree will go flying through the air. It will happen. Now, I think we all need to come to terms right now with the fact that you and I are just like the disciples, right? We are just like these disciples in their reaction. How many times have you and I said, "Oh, if I just had more faith, I could fill in the blank. Oh, if I just had more faith, then I wouldn't worry anymore. Oh, if I just had more faith, I wouldn't doubt anymore. Oh, if I just had more faith, I wouldn't be afraid anymore. If I just had more faith, I could do something big with my life. I could do something important with my life because I had that kind of gargantuan faith. If I just had more faith." I can't tell you the number of times when I was doing hospice work especially that I've sat with a mother whose child had cancer and that child died, and that mother looked me in the eye as the chaplain and said to me, "If I had just had more faith, she'd still be here." I can't tell you the number of times I had a lady whose spouse has just died after 60 years of marriage, and she would look at me and she'd say, "If I just had more faith, he'd still be here. If I had just had more faith, God would have answered my prayers. God would have done what I needed if I had just had more faith." But you know, what Jesus is saying to the disciples, and I think what he's saying to us today is, you don't need to supersize. It's just simply not necessary. You have all the faith you need right now. You have all the faith that you need. If you are a Christian today, you have all the faith that you need right now, because faith just simply is not about you. It's about Jesus. Faith is not about who you are. It's about who he is. Faith is about our obedience to Jesus. And the disciples really didn't have a faith problem, and Jesus knew this, and I think that's why Jesus got rather irritated at the disciples. They weren't having a faith problem. They were having an obedience problem with Jesus. Faith isn't measured by how difficult the task or the problem is or the work is that we overcome. That's not how we measure faith. Faith is not a thing that you can have or a thing that you can get. Faith is a relationship of love and trust in God and Jesus. Period. That's what faith is. A relationship of love and trust with God. Faith won't change the circumstances of our lives, but faith will change us in our lives. All these things that can be possible just with the faith of a mustard seed. Not because of you or me. Not because of our education or where we live or who we are or how long we've been in the church or how long we've been a Christian. Not because of any of that. Because of God. It's not the greatness of our faith. It's the greatness of the God we serve. That's how all things are possible with God. I mean, just think for just a second. Let's just think about this a little further. Think for a second. The examples that we find in the Scriptures, especially the New Testament, the examples that we find in the Scriptures of people who were healed by their faith, or who were saved by their faith. You remember the story of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil and then kissed his feet? Remember that story? And what did Jesus say to her? He said that your faith has saved you. Now, did she just come through the fast faith drive-through and supersize it before she did that? No, no. She was obedient. Her faith had saved her. When the blind beggar came to Jesus and wanted to see again, he said, your faith has healed you. You've come to me. Your faith has healed you. When the Samaritan leper came back and he was healed, Jesus said, you're healed because of your faith. When that woman fought through that crowd who had the hemorrhage for 18 years, and she fought through that crowd just to barely touch the hem of his garment. And with that one touch, her faith, it healed her. They didn't go through the supersized drive-through to get that kind of faith. There is no great faith. There's faith in a great God. And that's what makes things happen. People aren't healed by great faith. People are healed by faith in this God who is great, who says he's always with us, who says he's going to take care of us, who says he is going to provide for us. People aren't saved by great faith. They're saved by faith in God who is great. You know, so many times we go into inaction mode because we're so afraid that our faith isn't big enough to accomplish this. Our faith isn't big enough to do this. Like it's all on us. Like we have to do it in our own strength. We have to have enough faith to do that. And what Jesus is saying to these disciples and to us is, that's not how it works. Just have faith in me. That's all. Just have faith. I'm the one that'll take care of it. I'm the one that will supply. Jesus makes it clear to the disciples, you don't need more faith. What you need is a lesson in obedience. If you have enough faith to be faithful, if you have enough faith just to be obedient, then that's enough. Period. That's enough. It's all about obedience. And it's about what you do. What you do with that faith you have. That love and that trust that you have in the Father. It's what you do with that faith that determines how that faith works in your life. Then Jesus tells a parable that kind of drives this home for these disciples. If you look at verse 7, he says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, or get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Jesus uses this parable to point out about faith that we, you and I, them, we're just servants. We're servants of the Most High God. We get to serve at the banquet of God's kingdom, you and I. There's no pats on the back for us. There's no honor for us. There's no glory for us. It's for God. We get to serve Him at that banquet with Him. You get to be a servant of the Creator of all things, the Creator of heaven and earth. God's the one who gets the glory. We're just obedient in faith. We're just obedient because of our faith. Faith isn't a quantity of something that you can obtain over a period of time so that I can say, oh, my bucket of faith is bigger than your bucket of faith, or your bucket of faith, or your bucket of faith is bigger than that bucket of faith. And because our buckets of faith are bigger, we can accomplish more things. That is just not how faith works. That is not how God wants faith to be. Faith is when you get up one morning and the pain or the sorrow in your life just seems to be so much that you just don't know how you can carry it through the day. Faith is that thing that enables us to get up and carry on anyway. Because we know that today, if we can just touch the hem of that garment, it'll all be okay. That's faith. Faith is when you look out into this community and you see the pain that exists in this world, and it's represented right here on the other side of those stained glass windows, I promise. When you see the pain that exists and the need that exists here in this world, you see the children that are in need, you see the families that are in need, and you have compassion on them, and you do as Jesus commanded, and you feed them, and you clothe them, and you try to break this cycle of despair that exists, even in the wake of the fact that the need is so immense that it's just like a bunch of starfish laying on a beach. There's no way we can possibly overcome it all. Faith is when you do it anyway. Faith is when you go and do it anyway. Because it's not the greatness of who we are that matters. It's the greatness of the God that we serve. Faith is when you're in a broken relationship. And I don't know, a marriage broken relationship, a friend's broken relationship, family broken relationship, somebody you work with broken relationship. But faith is when you're in that relationship and you're able to forgive, and then forgive, and then forgive, and then forgive, and show mercy, and forgive, as he said 7 times over. That's faith. Faith is when you're willing just to be with somebody, just to be present. Faith is when you're willing to pray for somebody, because you're showing your faith in Christ. You can't fix it. He can. Faith is when you're willing just to pray for each other. Faith is when you're willing to stand up for what you believe, for your convictions, even when it's not convenient or popular. That's faith. We live by faith, not because we have this big bucket of faith or supersized faith or great faith, or because we have a faith that has all of a sudden grown in some way because of our time as a Christian. We live by faith because any faith in Jesus is enough. Any faith, as small as a mustard seed. Any faith in the greatness of who God is faith that is enough. And supersizing just simply isn't necessary. If you have faith today, you can do the impossible. God can do the impossible, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. Because Jesus is enough. He's enough. Don't let yourself be paralyzed to inaction in your life and in your faith because you think you don't have enough. Do you have faith? Do you believe? You have enough. Because Jesus is always enough. Let's bow and have time to pray together. Our Heavenly Father, may You forgive us. Not for our lack of faith, because we do have faith. But forgive us for our lack of obedience. Forgive us for our unwillingness to take the faith we have, though it may be as small as a mustard seed, but to take that faith we have and to put it into action. Because we all know what faith without works really is. God, may we take our faith today and use it to reach a community, to reach people for Christ, in our own lives, to heal relationships, to grow in our understanding of You, to recognize that we can go with boldness to You as Christians. We can go with boldness to God, straight to the Father, because of what Jesus has done and because we have faith. And that's enough, because Jesus is enough. Speak it to our hearts, God, we pray. May there be a sense of relief in our faith, a sense of understanding of the power of our faith in our lives. Thank You, Father, for always, always just being enough. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.